I'll call this meeting to order of the House Committee on Veterans Services and Emergency Preparedness for Tuesday, March 3rd. And so I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2270. Would you give us a background on 2270?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. House Bill 2270 creates the Office of State Resiliency Officer in the Office of the Governor. There's no revenue impact. There may be a fiscal impact. Statement is not yet issued, and there's subsequent referrals to Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
And do we have people scheduled to speak? I know that Dr. Ashford is, but I think there's some people going to speak before you do. Okay.
Yep. 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. So we have. So I have three people, looks like a group, three are going to testify together, and then we have, I think I have two other people, so okay. So Jay Wilson, Scott Ashford, and Mark?
Lappard.
I knew that. Thank you for being here today.
Good afternoon, Chair Lively, Vice Chair Boone. Members of the committee. My name is Jay Wilson. I'm the chairman of the Oregon Seismic Safety Policy Advisory Commission. We were the body that delivered the 2013 Oregon Resilience Plan to the legislature, and our top recommendation was for the creation of a state resilience office or officer to reside in the governor's office. And we're here to just officially testify on the record that we believe this is very important and critical for the sake of managing and facilitating across all state agencies from a very executive level the work that's necessary over the next 50 years, and for also there to be some accountability that continues over every elective cycle, as opposed to our commission, which just advises on policy, that someone would actually have a position that's responsible for this. And one of the other issues that's around resilience is that resilience is an outcome. It's not necessarily a plan that's on top of every other plan. It really helps you dial in your plans for a trajectory over the long term. And resilience officers are critical in helping to maximize the efficiencies and benefits of multiple parallel efforts that are going on to provide not just the value of say cost benefit analysis on a project or an effort, but also to articulate why this filters into so many other facets above and beyond just disasters. And so the notion of having someone at that level, just like there's a lot of other ones being done with the Rockefeller Foundation in states and other cities, it keeps Oregon on track for the potential for this event that's going to happen someday, which is a certainty, and for making sure that we institute this plan over the next 50 years.
Thank you. Any questions at this point? I'm sure we'll have some. We can go ahead.
My name is Scott Ashford. I'm Dean of Engineering at Oregon State University, and I also served as the chair of the Governor's Task Force on implementing the Oregon Resilience Plan. You know, the Oregon Resilience Plan put out a 50-year concept on improving Oregon's resilience, and it was the work of 169 volunteers. Our task force, over the past year, went through the over 140 recommendations in that plan and got down to basically 8 areas where we needed to invest this biennium. This was really where we needed to start. Ours was a volunteer task force, but our number one recommendation was to put in a resilience officer in the governor's office, not in one of the agencies that where the other agencies see them as a peer, but really somebody appointed by the governor that reports directly to the governor. You know, for us, this is a 50-year effort for the state. It's critical that we improve our resilience, and this is really the first step in that 50-year effort, and it's important that we pass this bill and get implemented this biennium.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Chair Lively, my name is Mark Labhart. I'm a Tillamook County Commissioner, but I also served on the Governor's Task Force. But I'm also here today representing the Association of Oregon Counties, the 36 counties, and I will speak on their behalf. But I'd first like to recognize two people. One of the most outstanding representatives in the state of Oregon, and that's my representative, Debbie Boone.
I think you're out of order.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, but Debbie has taken the lead on a lot of emergency management resilience, and she is just an outstanding representative for that leadership. And Representative Evans, Paul, we kind of go way back on dealing with emergency management issues. I'm going to just parrot what the others have said. This is a very important position that we believe should be at the governor's level, and that's the point I would like to make, is that it'd be real easy to stick this person into an agency. And we believe that because this is so important and it is a resilient position that needs to have the authority and the direction of a very high executive level appointment, that it should reside in the governor's office, and hopefully you will be able to go through ways and means and find the funding for it. I just got appointed, thanks to Jay and some other folks, to be the West Coast representative for a new FEMA resilience committee, and I'll be going to D.C. next week to get my marching orders on how this is going to happen. But Oregon will have a pretty strong voice now in resilience planning and resilience effort at the national level, and so I plan to carry the message that our legislature also thinks it's important, and hopefully you'll not only implement this recommendation from the governor's task force, but some of the other recommendations that will be coming for you. We think it's very important. I represent a coastal county that's at risk. It's not going to be just a coastal issue. It's going to be an Oregon issue, and we need to work hard to address this really important matter before our state. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions of this panel? So I have a question. Oh, go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, I just have a question regarding the position versus so other states. So we'll pick on the two others on the West Coast, Washington and California. So I assume maybe California is further ahead than we are. But the level of attention to this, I mean, is it the governor's level? I'm just trying to understand the relationship of this position versus other states that are dealing with these issues and where that, where the attention is given to this kind of questions.
I've worked quite a bit over the years with the California Seismic Commission, and I guess in answering your question, I would say because they have had so many earthquakes in the past generations, yes, their infrastructure, their unreinforced masonry buildings, any number of aspects of the built environment and the social environment there are so far ahead of us. I think what we really are articulating for this position is we've got to make strides to get to where we need to be, because we're so far behind for the sake of where our building codes are and our old and aging infrastructure, that we're not built with this consideration in mind. And the worry is, unless we do something to help focus this effort and have someone who's almost like a conductor for the sake of the importance of this, and then also accountability too, that there's a chance that this all could just fall through the cracks, per se, as we transition from one legislative and elective form of government to another.
Sure.
If there's no one there who's actually responsible from this, because our commission are strictly advisory. We don't have any direct authority.
I'll just thank you. I'll add for the state of California, there's also the California Earthquake Authority that is looking at improving resilience and education around earthquakes around the state of California, and also funding research to try to make that affordable for the people of California. I think another aspect of this is that our risk here is unique. In that if you look at the risk in California and the acknowledged risk up in Washington, they have been working on this for decades already, where because this Cascadia subduction zone was assumed to be aseismic until the 1980s, this really is a unique situation, and this appointing a chief resilience officer is a way for us to really begin that movement toward resilience.
Sure. Thank you very much. Representative Boone.
Thank you. And welcome to probably my favorite, don't tell Dale Buck, constituent. We have a few down in Tillamook County, too. Thank you all for coming today. This is, we have been all working together for some time now, as you guys know, those who came from last session. And this is kind of morphing, too, of the eight in, you know, immediate recommendations that we want to implement, and we have bills coming forward that will do that. We've picked up a few along the way, and at Penware, the Pacific Northwest Economic Region has asked us to investigate. This is five state western states and northwestern states and five northwestern, although they stretch it when they take in the Saskatchewan and Northwest Territories up in Canada. But they've asked us to do some stuff, and I see some engineers in the room today, too. We'll be coming forward with a bill that asks for some parity with our engineers when we ask, when we have the event. And I'm sorry to say, some of them might be gone through various methods, but we'll need some help assessing buildings that are left. And that was one of the first recommendations, to get back into the buildings, get our systems up and running. And so we need to have the help of our outside of the area engineers. And those, some of these things that are coming forward are just like that. They're, people have seen the plan, they're watching it roll out, and they know they've got some time ahead to do this. But those of us who have been doing this a long time know how imminent it is, and we need to get going sooner than later. So the first day our new Governor Brown was sworn in, I put in a request for a meeting, and I was probably number 1,000 by then, I'm sure. But I do intend to meet with her and discuss this with her and encourage her to adopt this plan, too. And so as to the funding, I don't know. We'll work something out. But thank you for coming today, and thanks for all you're doing.
Representative Evans?
Yeah, first of all, it's good to see a commissioner and the entire team. Thank you for all the work that you've done. I really have a question and a question comment. The first question is, so I understand, and I think I understand, but by having a state resource or a state resiliency officer at the governor's level, it can not only bring attention to directly related specifics for seismic resiliency, but also hopefully at least is your intent to also emphasize that there are a lot of things that other states like Washington, that has twice the population but four times the size of emergency management capabilities, things that can be talked about at that level that sometimes won't be if it's just in an agency. And so is that a, I'm saying denying if heads, but yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Second question is, when you go to D.C., Commissioner, if you could remind Ken Murphy that his house is still in Oregon and that we know where he lives, so that pilot funds for some of these efforts would be welcomed and seen as a giant step forward, and that would be certainly welcomed, I'm sure, by all members of the legislature.
Yeah, Chair Lively, Representative Evans, the resilience officer could be a she, so
yes.
I might say that.
Oh, there
she,
you go.
I will make sure that, Ken and I go way back, too. And I plan on visiting with him personally and making him aware that we are now moving out and stepping forward, and we look for their partnership to help us implement this stuff. So,
thank you.
With some federal funding.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
And I thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to piggyback on that. And, you know, we rely on our National Guard and our Oregon Emergency Management to carry out, other than the Cascadia, Mark knows about floods, and we'll have fires again. We had terrible fires before, but in the back of the room there, we have the usual suspect from Oregon Military Department, and we rely heavily on them, and they've been very integral in the planning of all this, too. So thank you for
coming. Any other questions by members of the committee? Again, thank you all for the work you've done and continue to do.
You're welcome.
Hopefully we'll continue to move forward.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we have two more people wishing to testify. Allison
Perch
and Stephen Kapori. Please introduce yourself to the committee and provide us your input.
My name is Allison Perch. I'm a geotechnical engineer here in Oregon, native Oregonian, and I am representing the American Council of Engineering Companies today and the American Society of Civil Engineers. I'm the Oregon Section Secretary this year. I traveled with ASCE to both Japan and Chile to study lifelines in these events, so we got to see what countries that are very well prepared do. Resiliency is really a big topic. We're way behind in infrastructure, and we realize that. The plan puts a 50-year timeline on that. That's a big, huge problem, and it's really kind of scary sometimes for people to think about. I think there's a lot of other things besides infrastructure where resiliency becomes important: the response, the maintenance and operation side, the human side, the education side. All of these things are really important, and they need to be connected for Oregon to actually get close to Japan and Chile, or maybe even just California and Washington, who are a little bit farther ahead from us. The resiliency manager, I think, is one of the more important positions that we could put, and I really like the fact that it would be in the governor's office because it would be outside of all of those agencies. I do a lot of work and discussions with counties and cities and even private firms, and you listen to the emergency managers talk and the engineers talk and the operations people talk, and none of them are talking. They've got an emergency plan, but they don't. The maintenance people who are going to have to implement it don't necessarily know what it is. So having this position in the governor's office where they can coordinate all of that, I think is very important, as opposed to within one of the other agencies. The second reason I think it's very important is because this is a major problem that I don't think the public understands, and I think the state actually needs to step up and be an example. There should be a resilience officer in every state and county, and in every private business. Everybody should step up and say, what can we do to be more resilient as a society? Because it's not going to be fun to live here after this event. I've been to Japan with Chris Goldfinger, and he expects to see this in his lifetime.
Oh, geez.
And he's older than I am. So for ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren, when I want Oregon to continue, I think that resiliency is a really important thing. So I support this bill, as does ACEC and ASCE, the engineers in the state, and thank you for your support.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kafouri.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Stephen Kafouri. I'm here today representing the Oregon chapter of the American Planning Association. The American Planning Association locally is about 800 folks who are land use planners, county planning commissioners, and lay people who serve on planning commissions, as well as a few land use lawyers. We want to speak in favor of the bill. I've had some written testimony that I won't go through all of it. I want to make a couple of points. First of all, I think it's important what you just heard about individual preparedness, not just community preparedness. In the condominium building I live in Portland, we've had a number of meetings, and we have a committee that's trying to educate our folks and getting our building ready. And I know in my car I have a little pack of stuff from the Red Cross, so when that happens, I'm ready to go. Hopefully not in my lifetime. A couple of points I wanted to make. One is that obviously the earthquake is the impetus for getting this going, but there's a lot of other natural hazards besides earthquakes. And we have produced a paper that you have in your folders, where I don't know what happens to electronic things these days, but you've got it somewhere. It's a paper that we produced in our chapter here called Resiliency, a Holistic Approach, which takes a look at not just how do we prepare ourselves for earthquakes, but how does the government prepare itself for all the kinds of wildfires and floods and sea level rise in the next 50 years. We're going to see some sea level rise here. Winter storms, coastal erosions, all these other kind of issues that we need to take a holistic look at and not just focus solely on the earthquake issue. We strongly support this approach of having the governor's office, the location of this. There was another bill, 2279, that as you've chosen not to hear, which makes good sense to us. Thank you for not hearing it. However, there was some detail in that bill which we would suggest you might take a look at adding to 2270. And we have some draft language that's, again, in your packets, where we took the language from 2269, giving some direction and some specificity to what this new person, you might be the one who'd be taking this job, right? This new person to be in the governor's office.
Okay. Thank you very much. Questions?
I just wanted to let Allison know, thank you again for what you're doing, and you are young, and hopefully it won't be, but I know Dr. Goldfinger can scare the pants off anybody, if anybody can. But I wanted to let you know House Resolution 5, which will look exactly like House Resolution 3, okay, because it was put in a little early, and between that and Senator Monis Anderson's bill to create a second resilience plan that addresses the human services and the resources, mental health issues, PTSD, all that. We were made aware of that during the other process, and people said, yeah, you're going to have to flesh this out a little bit because it's a big deal. So that's coming too. And we just don't know. She's starting hers from her side. I'm starting mine from my side, and we will meet them in the middle. And since she's the senior person as a senator, she will probably go with her bill. But that should be coming out if it's not out already. So
I appreciate that. Coming from Chile and having almost nothing happening in Oregon, and most people looking at me like I was crazy when you come back and give these discussions. And then Japan happened. I think in the last 5 years, it's really refreshing how much is actually moving forward. And I appreciate that. And those of us who have been working for it for a long time, also very much appreciate it.
Questions for this panel? Okay, thank you both.
Thank you
very much for presenting. So anybody else wish to speak? I know one person does.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Robert. I represent the American Institute of Architects. So I was the person who first drafted these bills, and they're pretty basic. 2269 actually will probably, hopefully, be amended and come back before you with some different information, and it was more of a placeholder. But I wanted to answer two questions. 2270, why is it not more specific as far as the detail of what we want the person to do? The governor's policy advisors and cabinet members are not detailed in statute. So that's the only reason we didn't add any of the detail there. In DAS, we had a little bit more opportunity, but again, that was not the chosen path. Secondly, one of the things that people have been asking me about is, well, wait a minute, this is going to cost money. And as I was writing this, as someone who really does not understand this issue, but understands the government and how it works, I saw it as saving money. And let me give you one major example, because I know you're short on time. But the perfect example for me is, for the last 10 years, I've been doing the Connect Oregon program. And the Connect Oregon program takes multimodal projects, whether it's port, transit, rail, bike, ped. It takes it and ranks those projects based on several criteria and then gives them money. Well, nowhere in those criteria is seismic resilience. And it should be. And someone in the governor's office not only communicates with the public about the problem and with the legislature about the problem, with local governments about the problem, but they also help agencies coordinate better together. And they see that this grant program is going on, whether it's for a new school or for a Connect Oregon program. They see it's going on. They say, hey, you need to add this in. And that keeps from us going back and starting over again. Just like in construction, anytime you have to go back and start again, it costs you more money. If we're doing this from the beginning and we have someone who's orchestrating it all from the beginning, we're going to save money in the long run. So again, thank you for hearing the bill, and thank you for listening to these folks who know so much about this, and I'm just in awe of them, and I appreciate what you're doing as well.
Thank you. Any questions for Cindy? Thank you.
Thank you.
Right information. Anybody else who wishes to offer testimony on this bill? Okay. Then I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2270. So we have a couple of measures ready for work session. So I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2210. Would you remind us where we're at on that bill? And then I'll ask Representative Huffman for his guidance.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2210 authorizes access to restricted areas at the discretion of the incident commander for the purposes of performing a public service or maintaining or repairing infrastructure as specified. Before you, you've got DAS 4 amendments. The effect of these amendments clarifies the language that an individual requesting access will be an employee or under contract with a broadcaster for the purpose of providing public service or maintaining infrastructure. It removes the purposes for access to gathering or reporting the news. You have the fiscal and revenue statements. There's no revenue impact, there's no fiscal impact, and there's no subsequent referral.
Okay. Representative Huffman, do you have anything to add to that?
Mr. Chair and colleagues, we spent a couple of weeks making sure that Bob Livingston was there. I don't see anybody in the room now for obvious reasons. We've gotten everybody's concerns, and there were only two or three, and they were minor, so it wasn't a big deal. Just really clarifying that the intent is for broadcasters, radio and TV, to be able to get to their equipment, to stay on the air, to help report emergency information and stuff. It's not for the purpose of getting behind the lines, if you will, and gathering more information or anything. It's not perfect. I think there will be some things we're going to have to work out. I expressed in my testimony in the first hearing that, you know, somehow we're going to have to work together to educate everybody within agencies, whether it's the fire marshal's office on a big fire, or ODOT, you know, or OSP, you know, the people that typically are have a roadblock manned are not going to be the superintendent of state police or Paul Mather from ODOT or highways or anybody else. You know, it's going to be, you know, somebody that I may or may not know that lives in the Dalles and possibly may not be aware of this statute that we're working to create. So there will be some education done, but I think it's a pretty good bite at the apple. It's not the whole apple, and that probably means it's a pretty good bill then.
There was, and I can't remember his name, but the person representing the police that testified first, he had come by and agreed to stay, but he said, we're in favor, we're supportive of the measure with Dash 4, so I said, I thought that'd probably be fine. He wouldn't have to stay for the meeting, but he did come by and express that they were supportive. So, Representative Evans?
Yeah, I just have a question for Representative Huffman, just to confirm. This bill gets you what you need. May not maybe what you want, but at least what you need to move forward and make sure that you have that capability to keep things going during times of disaster.
Representative Evans, it does. Again, I think part of the success of it's going to be to make sure that, you know, we may put Director Stuckey's cell phone number on the back of the card that somebody gets. You know, I mean, for those of us that done this, they have done this in the past, you know, you run into people going, well, I don't care what your card says, you're not getting through this gate. And so this bill is not necessarily going, you know, but it goes a long way. And I think we're going to be talking about, you know, what should go on this card that represents that you're certified to enter an area to get to your equipment. You know, it should probably include the ORS, and it probably should include the top three or four phone numbers for the director of OEM, the director of forestry, the direct superintendent of OSP, you know, those kinds of phone numbers, so that If somebody, an underling, does need to hear from somebody of authority, then they would be able to quickly call them up. And one, that's just a thought. I'm thinking out loud here.
Just a follow-up, if I could. Sure. Just in addition to those, the PAOs, or the public affairs folks for those agencies, will probably be the one answering the call, not the superintendent at 2 in the morning, but maybe. But through their like the fire marshal office, I think, still puts out the gated Y or something like that, mm-hmm. and the state agency newsletters to explain and burn that in is one of the things that's going to be happening, I think, could go a long way to try to get at least the folks at the local level knowing that this is coming down the pike, so they're not as surprised when they see the card out there. So,
and I think it's going to have to be, you know, like an annual,
right,
just an ongoing education thing in gated wire and other communiques, so that new employees come on, so that it's going to be a continual awareness thing, so that we don't run into those challenges.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Genoa Ingram over here represents the 8,000, maybe, volunteer firefighters, and they will likely be involved in stuff like this, because I know from our district we get that all the time, and that's exactly what happens, is you get a local volunteer firefighter at the gate, and or so to speak, the gate. But if they don't know who you are, you know, or the ODOT person from another unit is in there where it is. So you could put that in your newsletter and make sure all the volunteers at least know it. I think education's a good thing.
Any other questions? Thank you, Representative Huffman, for continuing to pursue this and get it to the point. Hopefully we can adopt it. We'll see. Well,
thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank Mr. Guinea also for, you know, helping us correlate everything and get it here today. And
okay, so we first need to deal with the amendment.
Right, Chair. Okay. Lively, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendment stated 3-3-2014.
Okay, Representative Boone moves to adopt the Dash 4 amendment stated 3-3-2014. Any further discussion on the amendments? Any objection to the amendments?
Hold on just 1 second, if you would. I think that's supposed to be 15.
It is.
So it says 14.
You want to correct your...
I will correct my... yes. I will...
You're correct. It should be 15.
Retract my motion and correct myself. Chair Lively, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments dated 3-3-2015 to House Bill 2210.
Thank you. Representative Boone moves to adopt the Dash 4 amendments dated 3-3-2015 to House Bill 2210. Any objections for the discussion? We're all clear. If no objections, then the amendment is adopted. So now to the amended bill.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2210 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Boone moves House Bill 2210 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel?
Excused.
Representative Evans?
Aye.
All right.
Representative
Huffman?
I have
aye. There we go.
Just a plain aye.
Thank you.
I had it going. It's on a roll.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Huffman, I assume you're willing to carry this on the floor. Thank you very much. So, close the work session on House Bill 2210, and I'll open a work session on House Bill 2539. So, Mr. Gaines, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2539 requires the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs to submit a report to the legislature on medical services used by female veterans by 1 November 2016, declares the emergency effective on passage. Before you've got a Dash 1 amendment, this just allows Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs to contract out for the study. Expands the concept of report to areas including mental health, and changes the date of the report to the legislature to no later than 1 November 2016. You've got fiscal and revenue impacts before you. The fiscal has been spelled out on the cost of the agency. There's no subsequent referral.
Okay. Any discussion about this particular?
I just have a small comment, and I understand why it's necessary in this case, but I am not excited about contracting out certain types of studies, sure, especially about veterans programming. So just wanted to get that on the record and understand this time, not going to get in the way of it, but want to be cautious that that doesn't become habit.
Thank you. Anything else on this? Not? Okay. We'll have to consider the motion for the amendment.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment stated 2-27-2015.
Representative Boone moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment stated 2-27-2015 to a House Bill 2539. Any discussion? Any objections? Okay. Amendment is adopted.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2539 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 2539 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay, call the roll, please.
Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel?
Excused.
Representative Evans?
Aye.
Okay.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative
Farage?
Aye.
Representative
Aye. Motion carries. So with that loud aye, does that mean you're the carrier on the floor?
I would certainly love to, yes.
Very good.
Very excited about this bill.
There
you go. Be careful. Do you have any other business to become before our committee? Doesn't seem like it. Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thanks for moving these through.